The reading is Luke 19, 1 to 10. Luke 19, 1 to 10. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but being a short man, he could not because of the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, "He's gone to be the guest of a sinner." But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor. And if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount." Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost."
Thanks, Dan.
Good morning. So, we're in the middle of the sermon series of what Jesus says in various situations to various people. And we're on curious today. And we all get a bit curious sometimes, don't we? I often get curious about the big things in life, like what is Colonel Sanders' secret recipe? I really want to know that. And will a DFS sale ever end? I don't know. But we do get curious about different things. I asked Lorraine, actually, last night, "Have you ever been curious about something?" And she said, "Yeah, once when I was small, I got curious about what electric would feel like and stuck my finger in a light socket just before my mum stopped me." So there you go. She had a perm for a week, apparently. But we do get curious. And the message today is going to ask, are you one of two things? It's going to ask, are you a curious searcher, or are you a searcher of the curious? Are you a curious searcher, or are you a curious searcher of the curious? And let me explain, the searcher of the curious. Last year, this time last year, myself and Lorraine went to Sri Lanka, as we do often, because Lorraine's family's there. And we were with the family, and we were in a place called Yala. And they're well known for doing safari, sort of safari tours, if you will. And so we've passed Yala a couple of times when we've been there, and we've always been a bit curious about what we would see if we were to go on this safari. And it's all preserved land, it's full of wild animals, and we were like, "Yeah, let's go and ask the tour guide." So we went and asked the tour guide, and the tour guide said, yeah, "It's this much, and you'll see this, this, and this." And we thought, that sounds brilliant. So we signed up for it, and as we walked back to the bed and breakfast that we were staying at that day, we realised the sheer mechanics of taking not just myself and Lorraine, but four small children on a four-hour journey in the middle of a wild sanctuary with wild animals. and realise the benefits of thinking things through, really, before we actually sign up. But once we got there, it was brilliant. Once we'd got our head around it, we thought, yeah, we're looking forward to this. We were really kind of curious as to what we were going to see. And the two main things that the tour guide said you could see was the elephants and the there was a 50% chance of seeing that, the elephants, and a kind of 5% chance of seeing they had some leopards there, two or three leopards. Very rarely were they ever seen, these leopards. So we get there in the morning and we get onto this thing, and the tour guide meets us in this van, and we're kind of this high up in the seats, and it's completely open. And the tour guide is just this skinny guy, and he's no stun gun or anything like that. And I'm thinking, what, are we safe? And he said, yeah, don't worry about it. Get up onto the open top part. Sit there, don't worry about it. And then he gets into his cab, locks his doors and winds his windows up. Okay. So we're driving through this park, and I don't know what it is about the start of a journey, and we all do it. You're not going to say you don't. We start taking random photos, don't we? On an exciting journey, I'm like, oh, there's a bee. Like, I've never seen a bee before. And, there's a piece of grass, you know, just random stuff. And we're going through this Yala Safari Park, and we started off by seeing these kind of sort of rabbits, wild boar and stuff like that. And then as we got deeper in, we started seeing a bit more interesting stuff like monkeys and alligators, sorry, crocodiles, I should say. And it got more and more interesting the deeper we got into this wild area of Sri Lanka. And then suddenly the driver just unwound his window and stuck his hand out and pointed and stopped the car. And we looked and we just saw this fantastic family of elephants. And we were, and that's actually the picture that I took from the van. We saw them grazing down. That's water, not grass. And they were just having a drink and washing themselves. And we watched them, and it was absolutely fantastic to see these elephants. And we thought, brilliant. We've got it. That's our tour made. So we carried on, because we still had another half of this tour to carry on with. And we're driving down a dusty track, and suddenly the driver slams on and he sticks his hand out again. And we look through two, sort of a parting in the bush, if you will. And he's pointing and he's saying, look at the water. And in the distance, about 200 yards away, there's a watering hole. And as we focused, we saw the leopard. 5% chance of seeing a leopard. Boom, we saw it. And it's right there. But it's quite a way away, because it's quite small, because it's quite a way away. But it was absolutely magnificent to see this leopard. It really was. And we're thinking, wow, that is amazing. And the driver's dead excited. And then the leopard sort of sauntered back into the bush. So we sat back down, and the driver suddenly starts reversing his van. And we're like, what are we doing? And he's like, we're just going to reverse down the van here. We're just going to reverse down, because we might be able to cut it off, because it might come and cross over this road. And I'm like, really? Do we need to do that? We've seen it. We're still alive. So he's reversing, but nothing. Didn't find it. Couldn't find anything. So he stopped, and we carried on this tour, and he stopped the van at the same place where we'd originally seen it. And he said, just check if it's having another drink. You never know. So we're looking through these trees, and we see this water, and we're looking for the leopard. And suddenly, just down here, you see movement. And as we look down, I kind of realised just how loose my bowels were. Because the leopard was right there. It was right there. I mean, we could touch it. It was huge. And it was wild. And this is no word of a lie. It looked up at me. And it looked me in the eyes. and it licked its lips. And I thought, we had a standoff. Us and a leopard. And we kind of just stared at this and we couldn't believe it. This leopard is right here. It was amazing. It was the best. It was just such a good experience. And the driver, he actually unwound his window a little bit to see it as well. And we're like, wow, that's amazing. So eventually this leopard just stared at us and then it just went round the van, thought, no, you're too skinny, and went. But what happened for the rest of the tour was this guy that was driving us, it was his livelihood. He did this for years and years. He was driving the van around this national park. And he was always looking for the leopard. Okay, and everybody that passed us by, every time we passed somebody by, he would stop and he would say, I've seen the leopard. I've seen the leopard. It's down near the watering hole. Nearly ate me people. It was brilliant. I've seen the leopard. And he would stop at every single person that was passing him, all his friends and colleagues that were doing other tours for other people. And he'd say, I've seen the leopard. Go down to the watering hole. It's amazing. And it was amazing. But you know, as followers of Jesus, we've experienced the most amazing thing. We've experienced the most amazing thing we ever could. We've been renewed. We've been made. We've not just found the answer to life, we've found life. We're looked after, we're forgiven, we can hand our luggage over to him. And this should make us excited. This should make us want to go to our friends and say, I found the leopard, I found God. I know where to go. Come with us, come to church, come to our house, we'll discuss it. This excitement that's in us should make us searchers of the curious. And the curious searcher is a different thing altogether. The curious searcher, it may be that you've been looking for something. You've tried to fill your life with career or money or good cars or whatever it may be. And there's still something missing. There's still something that you need. You're still looking for the meaning of life. Or it could be that you're a curious searcher because you've seen and met and you're friends with this family that know this guy called Jesus and they just seem to be different. There's something different about them. And you're curious about that. You're wondering what that's all about. Or you could be a curious searcher because life's dealt you some bad stuff. And you're just thinking, there's got to be something better than this. There's got to be something more to life than what I've got. And you're searching for that. This piece of scripture that we've heard this morning is actually got two characters in it. It's got a curious searcher and a searcher of the curious. And the first character is Zacchaeus. He's a chief tax collector. He's an important guy. And he would have become a chief tax collector by what he would have done as a Jew. He would have gone to the Romans and he would have said, you know what, I'll raise you this much tax from Jericho, because that's where he was from, and they would have agreed on it. They'd make him chief tax collector, but whatever he earned over what he told the Romans he would earn would have been for his personal gain. And we read that he was a wealthy man. So he was good at his job. He was really good at his job. He was a rich man. He demanded respect. He would have been money driven. He would have been career driven. But he was a curious searcher. Because for all the money and all the career and all the demanded respect and everything else that he'd tried in his life, he was still searching for something. And we don't know what that was. It could be that as a Jew working for the Roman Empire, it could be that he probably wouldn't have got much respect or friendship off his fellow Jews. And he could have been looking for some kind of acceptance on that, something that money couldn't buy. Or it could be that he was a curious searcher because Jesus had become very well known by now. And we read that thousands had gathered to hear him and to touch him and to see him perform miracles. And he could have been a curious searcher for that reason. But either way, he was a curious searcher. And not just a curious searcher, he was like really wanting it. He was really, really wanting it. Did anyone see the news this morning? Anybody managed to catch the news this morning? No. If I was to tell you there was a thing on the news channel this morning about Sir Alan Sugar. You know who Sir Alan Sugar is, right? He's the guy who does The Apprentice and he says, "You're fired." You're not fired, Andrew. But he does The Fired and stuff like that. And if I was to tell you that there was a news thing this morning of there was a parade going through Sir Alan Sugar's town, and they got footage of Sir Alan Sugar legging it down the road, getting ahead of the parade and climbing up some scaffolding and sitting on scaffolding so that he could watch this parade go by. Would you believe that? I know I'm convincing, but not that convincing. But you wouldn't believe it, because you wouldn't think that a millionaire, a multimillionaire like Sir Alan Sugar would be running down a street for a start and climbing up scaffolding to see something that he was curious about. You wouldn't think that would happen. It would be ridiculous to even think about it. But Zacchaeus's curiosity about Jesus was so strong that he ran, we read, he ran ahead of Jesus and reverted to the childlike act of tree climbing. Now, I know there's some guys in here thinking, "What do you mean childlike?" But he reverts to running and climbing up a tree out of curiosity of seeing Jesus. He really wants to see him because his curiosity overpowers his humility over running and climbing trees. This is Zacchaeus. He's a chief tax collector. He's a rich man. What's he doing running around and climbing trees? But he sits in the tree and he's waiting and he sees just the crowd are getting bigger and bigger, so he knows that Jesus is coming closer and closer, and he's sitting and watching, and Jesus gets a bit closer and he can make him out now, and this thing that Zacchaeus has been wanting, has been curious about, he finally knows, this is it. I want Jesus. This is it. And Jesus gets a bit closer and a little bit more closer, and then he's right in front of him. And then he's passing him by. But wait a minute. He stops. Jesus has stopped. Why has he stopped? Why has he stopped? He's looking at me. Why is he looking at me? Zacchaeus? No way. He's seen me. I'm in this tree and he's seen me. Come down immediately. No way. He's acknowledged me. I need to stay in your house today. No way. He wants me. He wants me. The searcher of the curious finds the curious searcher. That is a one-on-one lesson straight from Jesus on how to be a searcher of the curious. Because Jesus sees him, Jesus acknowledges him, and Jesus invites him. He sees him, acknowledges him, and invites him. And not only that, but we read that the crowds are grumbling about what Jesus is inviting, about this invite that Jesus has offered out to Zacchaeus. Jesus knew that was going to happen, but he did it anyway. Because Jesus is a searcher of the curious, and he is a curious searcher, and he's not bothered. He wants to invite him. And not only that, but we read that Jesus was actually passing through. He was passing through. But you know what? He's a searcher of the curious, and there's a curious searcher. And I'm not passing through anymore. I'm coming to stay at your house. I'm coming to stay at your house because you're worth it. Now the ball's kind of in Zacchaeus' court now, isn't it? He's been seen, he's been invited, and he's been acknowledged. And that as this curious seeker has had this stuff thrown at him, he's still in the tree. What does he do? For me, I'd been a curious searcher. I was a curious searcher. I was sat in any number of these chairs for a couple of years as a curious searcher. And it kind of felt to me at some points as a curious searcher sat there like I was looking at a door. And this door had steps going up it. And many a time I would start to walk up those steps because on the door it just said, "All curious searchers, knock here for assistance." And I'm walking up these steps towards this door. But then as I start walking up the steps, I start thinking, wait a minute, I know that this is what I've been searching for. I know this is what I'm curious about. But what if I knock on the door and God answers and said, "Wait a minute, sorry, no. You've done too much bad stuff. It's a different door for you, my friend. No, you're not coming. Sorry." Or what if I knock on the door and it's opened and God says, "Yeah, you can come in, but you're going to have to really seriously change here. You're going to have to lose some friends. You're going to have to change your lifestyle. You're going to have to stop doing this, stop doing that before you can even think of coming in here." And I would slowly stop walking up those steps over the years. And I would turn around and I would run away. But then one day, I went up the steps and knocked on the door. And the door opened. And God embraced me. And he didn't ask me to change. He didn't ask me to do anything. He just took me straight as I was. But you know what? As that happened, suddenly all my stuff, that thing I'd been searching for, all that luggage I've been carrying around, everything was lifted. I had found life the day I knocked on that door. And you know what? All of a sudden, I wanted to change. And nobody told me to. But I wanted to become a searcher of the curious because I'd found life. I'd found my God. I'd found peace. I'd found everything. And I suddenly wanted to go and tell my friends, "I found the leopard. I found God. This is where he is. Come with me. I'll show you." What does Zacchaeus do? Zacchaeus jumps off the tree. He jumps down off the tree. "Jesus, you haven't asked me to change. I know you haven't, but you've accepted me. And I feel whole, Jesus. I feel made new, Jesus. I feel wanted. I feel good. So you know what, Jesus? I'm not I'm going to give half of everything that I own to the poor because you're worth it. And you know what, Jesus? Anything that I've taken, I'm not gonna just give it back, Jesus. No, I'm not even gonna double it. I'm gonna quadruple it. I'm gonna give four times back anything that I have ever robbed off anyone because you're worth it. And as Zacchaeus runs up those steps and goes and taps on that door and he's welcomed, Jesus says, today salvation has come to this house because this man too is a son of Abraham. This piece of scripture that we've read this morning starts with one curious searcher and one searcher of the curious, but it ends with two searchers of the curious. Because Jesus doesn't say, today, Zacchaeus, salvation has come to you. He says, today, salvation has come to this house. Because Zacchaeus knows where the leopard is. And Jesus knows he's going to go. And it's going to go viral. His salvation is going to go viral. Because he's going to want to tell everyone where to find the leopard. Where to find God. Where to find life. And I wonder, what are you this morning? Are you a searcher of the curious? Do you see them? Do you acknowledge them? Do you invite them? You know, hundreds of people walk past the shadow of our church that are curious. Do we see them? Do we acknowledge them? Do we invite them? Do we say there's an Alpha course? Do we say come for a Sunday service? Do we say there's Celebrate Recovery? Do we say come along for a coffee afternoon? Do we invite them? Are you willing to change your plans as a seeker of the curious? Are you willing to change your plans to help a curious seeker find his way or her way? Are you willing to do this even if you know that the crowds will mutter? Because when we do this, and by following the blueprint of our lives that is Jesus Christ, we become kingdom builders. And he loves that. Or maybe you're a curious searcher this morning. Well, your search is over. Because that thing you've been looking for, that void that's there, can be filled right now, this morning. Because if you walk up the steps and just tap on the door, that door will fling open for you. And you know why? Because he loves that even more. Have a blessed week.